comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, a place where you actually matter. I want to thank you, those of you who have sent some very nice emails, very kind words of encouragement for my mom. Thank you very much. The deal with my mom is she has congestive heart failure. We've known this now for some time. But when I arrived in the Dallas area for a visit, I just had 2 days that I could visit just after Christmas. When I arrived there, I found that she was very, very ill. And to make a long story short, as it turns out, she had pneumonia. On top of the congestive heart failure, either one of those is serious, and the two of them together had her in such a state that she could not get up. And so we checked her into the hospital, and I'm glad to report to you she is back home now. She's recuperating. Still ill, but much, much better. And thank you for your very, very kind emails. I appreciate it. And that's one of the things that really, I do get asked sometimes. You know, once in a while I appear on someone else's talk show as a guest, and once in a while I get asked about what are some of the things that are different about the Kevin Smith Show as opposed to other talk shows, or what are some of the things that are real highlights. And I often mention that it's like a family, and it really, really, really is. For those of you who are new and you haven't started to experience that yet, just hang in there. You'll see it's like a family, and I appreciate you. I also want to thank all of you who supported the show financially because of the fact that I was away, and then because of the situation I found when I arrived in Dallas. I was not able to update the survival meter. I took my computer with me, my laptop. It was my full intention to do all of that, and just couldn't happen. And I apologize for that, but I was tied up with seeing to my mother. And so some of you were very, very worried. I thank you for that. Thank you for your financial support. We succeeded. You made us succeed in being able to pay all the bills. And we're on again for another month. And that's a good thing. So here we are in 2010. And everything is bright, shiny, and new. And we got a lot of new stuff coming up in 2010. Some of it begins now. Email has been pouring in with people talking about just how much they enjoyed Jerry Wills as he sat in as my host, my backup host, while I was gone. Well, we've got some big news regarding Jerry when we come back from this break. Don't go away. welcome back. Tonight will be open line in just a few minutes. We've got a couple of things we've got to cover here first. But we have some exciting news for you. You know, those of you who have been with this show since the beginning, back in 2000, we've been around that long, yeah. Every once in a while I run into someone who says, I never heard of you before. Actually, that can happen a lot because there's a lot of people on the planet and there are tons of shows. I never heard of you before. Well, we're not new. We've been here since 2000, and we're glad you're here now. But if you've been listening to this show since 2000, then you know that we're constantly changing things, trying to improve. And some of the things we have tried didn't work. Looked like a good idea. You know, it showed every sign of promise, but it didn't work. And so when it doesn't work, we get rid of it. But then when we come up with something else we think will improve what we're doing here, then we add it. And that's what we've done over the years. We've continued to add things. Some of you are watching, for instance, on KSS TV right now. Those of you who are members, you're watching on KSS TV. Those of you who are not members, it's 23 cents a day. Come on. That's less than your next cup of coffee. It's less than the cup of coffee you're drinking right now. But you're watching on KSS TV. Well, we didn't used to have that. We added that in 2000. Well, we started playing with it, working, trying to figure things out in 2008, and then actually added it as a feature in 2009. So we're all the time doing something to make things more interesting, better, all the way around. Well, one of the things that we are going to be doing starting tomorrow, starting Saturday. Today is what day? No, I don't mean, look, I know you know it's Friday. Today is January 1st, 2010. Starting on January 2nd, 2010, that's tomorrow, we will be offering the Kevin Smith Show on the weekends as well. So it'll be 7 days a week. And the host for the Kevin Smith Show on the weekends will be Jerry Wills. As I said before the break, we've been getting emails just pouring in from people very enthusiastic about Jerry, about his hosting of the show while I was away. So Jerry and I had been talking about this now for some months, about him taking over hosting for Saturday shows and Sunday shows. So for Saturday and Sunday, you still get the Kevin Smith Show. It'll be the Kevin Smith Show with Jerry Wills. And I'm absolutely delighted to have him as part of the Kevin Smith Show team. You know, I think any way you slice it, you got to say Jerry Wills is knowledgeable. He's got lots of talent, lots of information. And he's a great host, and so we're glad to have him. You be sure you tune in tomorrow and enjoy the Kevin Smith Show. What time? Well, it's showtime, of course. Same time as you tune in Monday through Friday. And you will enjoy hearing Jerry Wills. Also, tomorrow is the first Saturday of the month, right? And that means I'll be in the chat room at showtime. I'll be watching the show and chatting with members who are in the chat room at the same time. Now, I don't know that we'll do the chat next month at showtime. We'll see how this goes. We test everything, you know that. We test everything, so we'll see how this goes. If it runs smoothly, then we'll do it same time next month. Otherwise, we'll change the time for the chat. But we'll give it a shot and see how it goes. And I need to hear from you. you know, after we do it, I need to hear from you and know, what did you think? All right, as I said, tonight is going to be open line. It's going to be a little rough on me tonight because, as you can probably hear, my voice, I'm a little bit hoarse. I think it's from having traveled to Texas and then come back to Arizona. The stuff that's in the air is different in Texas and Arizona. They're not the same. And so it has affected my voice a little bit. Nevertheless, we are going to do Open Line Live, and I will open the telephones in just a moment. But I want to share with you a story that you've already been hearing about. And I would like to get a little bit of your thoughts on this tonight. There is out there in space, heading this way, a big asteroid. It is on a possible collision course with Earth in 26 years. And if it does collide with Earth, it will destroy and turn into a desert, an area the size of France. So, I mean, it's serious. It's not a planet buster, but it is really serious. This asteroid is called Apophis, and the Russian Space Agency is coordinating. They say it will be an international effort, but they're coordinating an effort to come up with a way to divert this asteroid from colliding with Earth. And so I'd kind of like to get your thoughts on that tonight. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. And let's see. Let me make sure that we have everything set just right. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello there. Yeah, I guess this makes me the first caller of the new year, right?
It does. Do you get like a medal for that, or a pay raise, or I mean, what do you get for that?
Well, that'll be totally up to you, Kevin.
Okay. Well, let's give you some applause for that.
This whole asteroid thing. Isn't there a law on the books that states that if anything like this is coming through the solar system, that would be potentially Earth's like extinction level event, that they're not supposed to talk about it for fear of raising a panic? Isn't there some sort of law about that on the books?
I have heard that. I've never seen anybody produce a copy of that law. I think, I could be wrong, but I think that's probably one of those internet myths.
Hmm. Possibly. I could see them trying to use that as some sort of a false flag thing to, you know, just to scare the living daylights out of people so they can say, well, to protect you, we've got to take away more of your rights. You know, we've seen that time and time again, that old trick they like to pull on the uninformed.
Well, it could be. But then again, you know, we've been hearing about Apophis for a long time. And, you know, it's on its way, and it's going to pass Earth twice. I think the first time is in, I could be wrong about the date, I think it's 2029. And at that point, it will be passing Earth below the orbit of our satellites. And you'll be able to look up and see it with the naked eye. Then it will loop around and come back, and it's on its return back in 2036. That's when they say there is really a higher possibility of it striking Earth.
Well, you know, if we're still around by that time, if we don't ascend to some higher plane, you know, with all this 2012 thing going around.
Trust me, we'll be here.
Well, you know, I think by then we might have I honestly think we have the technology now to divert some of that stuff. I just think the government is sitting on that and don't want us to know about it. But I think we have the technology is going to be sufficient enough to be able to divert something like that away from the planet. And I honestly think with an asteroid or any kind of asteroid, I don't think there's really any threat to begin. You know, I don't think there's any real threat to it.
Well, they have in the past struck the Earth, and they have caused tremendous devastation at times in the ancient past, and it certainly could happen again. I'll tell you this, it's not something I worry about because I can't do anything about it.
I don't worry about it either, but you know, like I said, you know, I think we've got the technology today to counteract anything of that nature. So, you know, I'm not I won't be losing any sleep over it, that's for sure.
How would you suggest that they move it out of its collision course?
Oh, probably some sort of Stargate technology might be in use, or maybe some sort of electromagnetic technology.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or
all right.
some other piece of technology that they're not telling us about.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks, man. Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you. For those of you who didn't listen last night and hear me say Happy New Year, let me say Happy New Year to you. I'm glad Kevin reminded me. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Now, if you've never, ever, ever been through an open line show with us, let me explain what that means. It means we'll talk about the topic that's on your mind as long as it's within the genre of this show. Now, we're not going to talk about your favorite recipe for turkey and dressing. We're not going to talk about auto mechanics or financial planning. But if it's within the genre of our show, which is, you know, the world of the strange and unexplained, we will talk about whatever is on your mind. All right? Now, if you've never, ever called this show before, shame on you. Why haven't you? If you've never called me, do you have any idea how that hurts my feelings to know you're sitting out there and won't talk to me? That just shatters my little ego. It really does. Seriously, you talk on the phone all the time. You even are so addicted to telephone that you have a cell phone and you carry it with you. You're never without it. It's with you 24 hours a day. And there is no reason for you to be afraid to dial our number and talk with me. Maybe you'd like to talk with me about some of the shows that we did before I went away. Maybe you'd like for us to talk about the shows that Jerry Wills did and the topics that were brought up there. Maybe you have some strange experience that has happened to you. You've seen a UFO. You've had an encounter with extraterrestrials. You've encountered shadow people or whatever it may be. If it's within our genre, we want to talk to you. We want to hear from you. Now, open line shows won't work as long as everyone sits there and says someone else will call. I'm too shy. I can't talk on the phone. But you do. You talk to your mom. Well, just consider me mom. Okay, my voice is a little deeper than mom's. But just consider me to be mom. Because I don't eat people. Okay? All right. This the planning for how to handle Apophis, the asteroid, is going to begin quite soon. The meetings will be held in secret. Now, I don't understand that. That's one of the things about this that I just don't understand. Why in secret? Now, you knew when I brought this up that there had to be some kind of a hook in there, right? You knew that because you listened to the show. You know that's the way it works. That there's got to be something in there that really caused me to raise an eyebrow. Well, what raises the eyebrow for me is these meetings, these planning meetings for how to handle this asteroid. These meetings will be held in secret. The question that I have is quite naturally, why? The answer to that question is up for speculation. And what's the rule? It's a universal rule. When the evidence is not on the table, all speculation is valid. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Happy New Year. It's Avi.
Thank you.
New Jersey calling.
Hi, Avi.
How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Glad to be back in the saddle here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that everything's doing all right now.
Thanks.
I was listening to what you were saying about this meeting being a secret, huh? About this asteroid, and I read the stories about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking perhaps they're in secret because they might want to be using, antimatter, something to, because I think it would take at least 1,000... Well, that's what I was reading. How much nuclear power would they need to actually knock it away?
Well, they are saying that there will be no nuclear explosions.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That okay. They're not going to do that.
I think so with antimatter.
So, well, see, what I speculate... is that whatever they're going to do, they're going to be using technology they don't want us to know they have.
Of course, yeah. And I also thought of HAARP, but I mean, I don't know that much about HAARP other than we don't get to know about it.
Avi, you want to hang on through the break?
Sure thing.
All right, hang on. We'll be back, folks, right after this. We are back. It's the Kevin Smith Show, and on the line with me is Avi. So Avi, I had to cut you off in mid-sentence because of the break. And by the way, let me say this before you continue. Sometimes we get email from someone who says, well, you shouldn't have cut the guest off to go to break. Folks, those breaks are automatic. They happen when they happen, and they happen at exactly the same time every night. So, if somebody's talking, including me, when the music starts, we have to get off the mic because the mics are going dead. So, that's the way it works, and there's absolutely no offense intended either to Avi or to anybody else who's on the show, including me. All right. Avi, I want to give you a chance to complete the thought because you were right in the middle of a sentence and we had to cut away.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. I understand that completely. Last thing I was talking about was the idea of, I was pretty much restating what I had said.
Well, you had said maybe they would use HAARP or something.
Oh, right, HAARP, yeah. I mean, it's used for they use the ionosphere with it, and so I don't know, maybe they were going to, the idea other than antimatter, which would be basically to just make it, disappear in some way, would be to...
Well, now, let's think about HAARP for a minute.
Yeah.
HAARP, as you say, what they do is they superheat a spot in the ionosphere and create a bubble, and then use that to bounce other signals off of it for various purposes. All right, now, One of the great fears that was expressed and continues to be expressed by some scientists is that they may rip a hole or burn a hole in the ionosphere, and if they do that, it could have catastrophic results. So do you know, like with a laser, they can focus it so that you know, it could pass through the ionosphere and not burn anything with a laser, not burn anything because it's focused at a certain object at a certain distance, and when it hits that, it starts burning that. But it doesn't burn the ionosphere as it goes through it. What about HARP? Can they do that with HARP? I don't know.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't be the normal way they would use it, I guess. I don't know.
What I wonder is if they used it for that, would it necessarily burn that hole in the ionosphere that everybody talks about? I think it probably would.
Maybe that would be a bad idea then, huh?
I think it might be. But you know what they might could do between now and then?
What's that?
They might could put some mini HARPs in space, several of them, and have them in orbit out there where they could aim them at this thing.
Like it would be focused then, yeah, from several important locations. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's possible, but anyway, it'd make a great science fiction movie, wouldn't it? Oh, they did that. It was called Deep Impact.
Yeah, I saw that. Hey, before I go, when Jerry was on during the week, I listened to those shows, by the way. They were very good. I think one of his guests, what was that, Tillinger, was talking about South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Michael Tillinger, yeah.
Yeah, it reminded me of the place, and I hadn't thought of it that night, but I was thinking of an ancient spot in Turkey that's supposed to be 12,000 or even older. Can't remember the name of it, but there were these T-shaped rocks that all in this circle, and there were all these walls, and it looked very circular, and it reminded me of those shapes that that place in South Africa, and it made me wonder. But
well, you know, South Africa is full of ancient stuff, and we never hear about it, you know. Until recently, we weren't hearing about the stuff in South America. Just within the past 30 years or so, we started hearing, you know, a lot about South America. So maybe we're about to start hearing a lot about South Africa.
And I'm sure there will be a lot more pretty soon. Well, I also saw Stuart's that commercial on Wednesday show. He was it's something to do with the portal. I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah,
it was really good. I really like that one.
I've got a new one in the lineup tonight. This guy is creative, isn't he? He and his kids just do a super job.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it, but very talented.
Yep, very very talented. All right, thanks for the call, Ivy.
Thanks.
Yep. Yeah, Stuart Lambie. He's the guy that produces a lot of the very creative commercials and promos that we use here on the show. And it's he and his children. And, you know, I've been gifted with a lot of things. But one of the things I haven't been blessed with is an overly creative mind in terms of coming up with things like Stuart comes up with. And it's just amazing. He does a great job. All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. That will work from anywhere on planet Earth. 623-444-5889. If you're using Skype, you know Skype can call telephone numbers. So if you're using Skype, they've got some kind of a plan where it's, you know, just very inexpensive, and you can give us a call on Skype. Now, if you're in the USA, if you're in Canada, you can use our toll-free number. Now, the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Happy New Year, Kevin. This is Louie from Connecticut.
Hi, Louie.
Hey, Kevin.
Oh, by the way, Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you, sir. Kevin, yep. Think about it. They said the asteroid is supposed to get here in, yeah. what, 2026?
It's first pass through here. I didn't pay attention to the date, but it's something like 2029, I think. But 2036 is when it comes back, and it's that time that they are worried about.
Okay, here's something to think about, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
What about deep space? Remember, they were saying they got some kind of deep space. All the satellites are facing at deep space.
Yep.
And they had to get something done by 2010.
Yep.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they already got something for that asteroid coming.
Well, you know, it could be. It could be. But, you know, the article that I read here on the air said that the purpose of that system is to be able to identify and track deep space forces.
Oh, ooh. Maybe the forces on this asteroid.
It might be.
Another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, another thing. Maybe they want to have secret meetings, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they got a special guest.
Could be. Could be. Mm-hmm. The thing with those secret meetings is disturbing. You know, every time you turn around, they're putting something else behind the curtain. There's nothing out in the open anymore. There's nothing that the government thinks you need to know. Now, in this case, it's not our government, as far as I know. It's right now the ball is in the Russians' court.
Yeah.
What I read,
NASA is not too happy with Russia.
Well, maybe not. But it's a two-way street. Russia may not be too happy with NASA. You know, there are some things NASA does very, very well. Planning ahead is not one of them.
Well, they have no money anyway.
Well, no, they don't even get a penny out of every dollar that goes to the American government. They don't even get one penny. They get far, far less than that. But, you know, here we are. We're going to end the use of the shuttles. And the shuttle's replacement will not be ready for 5 years if they stayed on schedule, and they're already behind schedule.
That's right. Something's very wrong, Kevin. Something's very wrong. You know, something is going to happen way before, I think, you know. So they keep on bluffing us with all kinds of stuff. Secret meeting about this asteroid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think something's coming down the line. And another thing with that asteroid, right? Where is it now, okay? Can it be near a black hole? Or what about gravitational pull from other planets to deter the direction from Earth?
Well, I think, you know, as it passes other planets, of course there is some gravitational pull, gravitational tug on the asteroid. But they're using that in their calculations to determine where they think it's going to fly. And based on all that, they're saying it's possible that it might hit Earth in 2036. And, I think it was pretty interesting. You know Dr. Michio Kaku.
Right.
I saw him on television talking about this. And I don't know if it was a Freudian slip or if he intended to say it this way or he just made a mistake. But he talked about it in terms of when it hits the Earth.
Yeah, he said something about a mistake, that they made a mistake in calculations.
Well, he was talking about it in terms of, it sounded like, you know, it's going to hit the Earth. That's what it sounded like. And, that raised my other eyebrow. And but I don't know if he intended to phrase it that way. I don't know if it was a Freudian slip and he accidentally told us something we weren't supposed to know. I don't know. But
let's wait and see.
Well, that's right. You know, after we get past 2012, we'll be sitting around waiting for 2036.
You're right.
And we'll all find out the same day.
Yes, sir. Have a good evening.
All right. Thanks for the call. If you're not in the United States and you're not in Canada, the toll-free number is not toll-free. But the other number, you can call me if you can call me from anywhere on the planet, 623-444-5889. Or if you're outside the USA and Canada, you can send me a flash message by going to my website and just scroll down. You'll see the link. Just use that link and send me a flash message, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Mark from Ohio.
Hi, Mark.
Hello, I thought I'd give you a little information on this meteor that you might find interesting.
All right.
The Billy Meyer contacts talk about this. There were two contacts where the Pleiadians talked about this Apophis meteor. One was on October 10th of 1981, and it was where Billy was talking to Ptah, which is Semyasi's father. And I don't know if you know who Semyasi is.
Yeah.
He's Billy's mm-hmm. main contact. You probably know that.
Mm-hmm.
And Ptah described this object as being 350 meters in size. And he gave the same dates that you did. 2029 is the first near miss, and 2036 as being the time where the Earth could really experience a catastrophe.
Mark, a break is taking over. Can you hang on? I want to hear this.
Sure.
All right, hang on. We'll be back, folks, right after this. And welcome back. It's the Kevin Smith Show. And on the phone with us is Mark from Ohio, I think you said, Mark.
That's correct, Kevin.
All right, Mark, you were telling us about this asteroid being talked about back in the 1980s in the Billy Meyer material.
Yes, that's correct. It was October 10th, 1981, I believe, which is the 475th contact that Billy had. This particular contact, Ptah, who is Semyasi's father, was telling Billy about this. Ptah suggests that we use atomic explosions near the meteor to set it drifting off course. And another thing he said I thought was very interesting is that the project must be executed early and not at a time when the real danger starts to threaten, because otherwise it would be too late for a success. And this Apophis meteor was also mentioned in another contact by Quetzal, and Quetzal is the commander of their mothership, I guess. They call it the Great Spacer. And one of the interesting things that he said is he said this meteor has the it could theoretically split the crust of the Earth from the North Sea down to the Black Sea. Now, if you look at that on a map, that would basically kind of cut Europe diagonally in two, which is pretty incredible. So yeah, I just thought I would share this with the listeners. And
all right, now, you mentioned before the break kicked in, you mentioned that Ptah had said that it was 350 meters in size.
That's what he said, yes.
All right, this was in 1989.
81, I think.
81. All right. How would a Swiss farmer be able to come up with that? Because this asteroid is 350 meters.
Wow.
And for those of you who don't understand meters, that's 1,150 feet. It's big, and it's not the biggest that's out there, but it's big, it's substantial. And it is 350 meters. How does a Swiss farmer, because, look, I got to tell you, Mark, I don't know, have you listened to the show for very, very long?
Yeah, a couple, 2-3 years now.
All right, you've heard me say, I neither believe nor do I disbelieve. I'm just looking for what is. And if it is, then it is. Okay, now I've had people on this show that are very pro Billy Myers. I've had people on this show who say Billy Myers is a fraud. 1981, a Swiss farmer gives us specific information that we're now looking at in 2009. How did he know?
Well, he didn't make it up, obviously.
Well, it would seem to validate, this information would seem to pretty much validate that Billy Myers is reporting what he's told rather than making something up. It would seem to me then it kind of blows the detractors out of the boat.
Yeah, you know, if you study the contact notes in any detail, there's just so much information in there about so many different things that I find it hard to really give much credibility to the people that attacked Billy Myers and the whole case. But obviously I'm on the side that has an open mind and is willing to look at this as being the truth. One of the things that they said about this whole situation, which really leaves more questions in my mind than anything else, is that Quetzal, the commander of the ship, said that the event is a pre-programmed event and that the cosmic powers, whoever they are, pre-programmed this event, which could only be stopped by Earth and humanity.
So what is it, like a test for us?
It must be.
Hmm.
Maybe we can start to work together for a change on something.
Well, maybe. What do you think about this thing where they're going to have the planning meetings in secret?
Well, I'm not a big fan of secrecy. I think a lot of the problems we have are because there's so much secrecy in this country. You know, the UFO cover-up is just one example of that. And I think secrecy tends to cause more problems than it solves, so I wouldn't be in favor of that secrecy at all.
All right. Mark, very interesting. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Happy New Year. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, welcome back and Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you. I just wanted to update the jingles thing because I don't research anything. I'm rather lazy, but I was at lunchtime last week, and I got kind of bored, and so I tracked down the city manager for Calistoga, Jim McCann, and I decided to call their number to figure out if he was still alive, and I got the secretary, and she had told me that she had just talked to him that morning, so he's alive, and then I also was just pretty honest with the story and let her know exactly what's going on just to see what would happen, and she actually took it very seriously.
Good deal.
For one thing, the fact that over 100 different countries listen and just want to know what he has to say about that, just because he's ruining another dude. She took that seriously. And the other thing is the fact that everybody wanted to know if he's dead or alive. It almost astonished her, and I guess it was shocking to her. But she was extremely helpful, very nice, and she promised me that she would get that info to Jack. They know the website. They know about the letter. And so if you don't hear from him in 2 to 3 weeks, I thought I'd help you out, and we know exactly what's going on there.
Well, yeah, if we don't hear anything now, we know for sure it's a duck and cover.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My other thing was, real quick, Jerry Wills was, I don't know what the word is. he was astounding. He was great. You know, he did really good, and it was really fun to watch him that first night for, like, the first 5 to 10 minutes. It was like he was jumping into a one-man band playing the guitar, and it really made us appreciate how you make it look so easy. It's ridiculous. You're probably pressing buttons with your toes over there, and we can't see it.
As a matter of fact, you are right.
Oh, no.
I do have some that I press with my foot.
No way.
In an emergency, yeah.
Okay, well, my last thing was, is we all kind of, we had some fun, too. We had some after hours, and a couple of us decided to jump in the chat room when someone said, hey, jump in the chat room on the phone. And I think that there's something that Kevin had mentioned with some email links that we should probably seriously look at, because I want to know if the videos are fake or for reals. And it had to do with shapeshifters, best evidence.
Yeah.
And basically, we never put the link over the air, and we talked about it in chat. But it's so serious that I had a friend and his girl looking at it for an hour, and it's a 5-minute video. And the comments under these things are like comments I've never seen. It's a 4-part little video thing, and it shows all these CNN news reporters and stuff having problems with their face. And it goes all the way to Bush. And so I started thinking that if those videos are real, then that explains shapeshifters, part of what they do, because apparently they fill in. They fill in for real people, and you can't tell if that's all true. And so I think we should really look at those videos, just because of the fact that everybody that sees those is just speechless, and we don't know what to think.
Send me the links.
Okay.
Yeah, send me the links. I appreciate it. Hey, thanks for the call. All right. 623-444-5889. And the toll-free number, of course, is 888-223-4599. I'm a shapeshifter. Not like what you think, but I'm a shapeshifter. Now, whenever I leave the United States, I can go anywhere. Just get away from the United States and get away from the food in the United States. And my shape shifts from 220 pounds down to 185 pounds within a couple of weeks and then holds steady. What do you think about that? We'll be back right after this.
Arizona, this is the Kevin Smith Show.
Indeed, it is the Kevin Smith Show, the very first Kevin Smith Show for 2010. It's Open Line Live tonight. And we want to know what is on your mind. We'll talk about the things that are important to you within our genre. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Aaron from San Antonio.
Okay, you said Aaron?
Yes.
All right, Aaron. First of all, let me tell you, I always say this, San Antonio is one of my favorite cities. I love San Antonio. What a great place. What's on your mind tonight?
I was just looking around. I just want to get your opinion on something. I was just looking around the interwebs yesterday and today, and I saw a statement by the FAA that persons wanting to report UFO unexplained phenomena activity should contact a UNIX Planned Phenomena Reporting Data Collection Center, such as Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Studies, otherwise known as BAS.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the Bigelow guy. He's a big sponsor for MUFON. And so now it seems that there's a Fed connection via subcontracting to MUFON. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I just wanted to get your idea on that.
Well, you know, I haven't seen what you're talking about, and so this is the first time I'm hearing it. So what I say is just off the top of my head, okay? And it may or may not be accurate. But, just because the FAA says you should report it to an agency like Bigelow Aerospace doesn't necessarily mean that there's a linkage between them, that they are, like, fundamentally linked, okay? Bigelow Aerospace, and this is off the top of my head, I don't think they are a government contractor. But I do know that Bigelow Aerospace is involved in the development of a space hotel. And they already have a test space hotel in space. And I think it's all entirely a private aerospace firm. Now, as I said, I'm speaking off the top of my head. I, to the best of my knowledge, they are not a government contractor. But I could be wrong.
Okay. Well, I just thought it was interesting. It was a press release, but then it's blogged about. So once again, it's through the internet. I can't confirm 100% if this is true.
Well, in the blogs, did they say that Bigelow was a government contractor?
Well, yeah, Bigelow is a subcontract, is what they said it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner, Bigelow, contributes a lot of money to MUFON.
Through the years, Robert Bigelow has contributed a lot of money to a lot of things having to do with UFOs. He was a backer for a particular radio show. He was the financial backer for the investigation of the Skinwalker Ranch. He's been involved in this kind of stuff for a number of years, and he's put a lot of money into it. Now, if they are a government contractor, that's news to me. And like I said, your call is the first time I'm hearing this about the FAA. If they're a government contractor, okay, then they are. I was not aware of that. I am aware that they are a private aerospace development firm. They intend to make a commercial endeavor out of space technology.
And I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing or it's a good thing. I just think it's an interesting thing because from this guy Bigelow, he has a lot of money.
Yeah.
And usually business guys don't invest in things if they're not expecting something in return. So I'm just putting that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying it is what it is, but it just seems a little fishy to me, that's all.
Well, I appreciate the call and the information. It's something I'll look into now because, I had not heard of it. And
it came down this week, and it's, they kept it on the down low for...
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, thanks. I'll look into that and see what I can find out.
No problem.
All right, thanks for the call. Let's take a look at our flash messages. We've got one from, both of those. I don't know how they got through. They're from the United States, and we have telephones for those. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
And I have a couple of comments about these secret meetings.
Okay, go.
They could given that there are some people who want to decrease the world's population, they could possibly be debating with as to whether or not to let it hit. And as to Michio Kaku's 40th slip, what you got to look at is the first pass is close, the second pass is closer, the third pass would probably be a definite.
Yeah, but it's only going to pass us twice.
Oh, it is?
Yep. It's only going to come past us twice. And the interesting thing, I don't know if you saw it, but when Michio Kaku was speaking, the news anchor caught what Michio said and tried to correct it, but Michio didn't say, oh, yeah, that you're right. He just plowed forward. So, that's why I raised an eyebrow.
Yeah.
Because I wondered, is he telling us something that, in a way where people can say, oh, well, it was a slip of the tongue. He didn't mean to say it that way. But is he telling us something that we need to know? And, you know, is he getting that information out to us? I don't know, but I've still got one eyebrow firmly raised. I taped it down for the show, though.
Okay. How's your mother doing?
Thanks for asking. She is out of the hospital. She's recuperating at home and improving. So that's good. A good thing. All right. Mother, thanks for the call.
Goodbye.
All right. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. This information that Mark from Ohio told us about. Now that is curious. You know, in the Billy Meyer papers, in his writings, where he records what he has, he says, this is what they told me. This is what the extraterrestrials told me. And here it is. Well, in 1981, this asteroid, he's told about it, and he's given its size. And the dates that it will be passing the Earth were also given to him. You gotta ask yourself, how does a farmer in Switzerland know that information? Now, I'm neither a believer nor am I a disbeliever, as you know. I simply say whatever is, just is. And that's this information that's in his papers in 1981 just is. Now, that's phenomenal. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, hope you had a wonderful holiday, and I'm glad to hear that your mom's doing fine.
Thanks.
I'm going back to what my fellow Buckeye, Mark from Ohio, was talking about, Billy Meyer. Billy's the real deal. The reason why I know is because you remember back when I was in Sedona, and you were there also at Ed Grimsley's conference. Well, anyway, when I was up at the Vortex with Michael Elasian, I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not before, but I had an encounter with a Pleiadian scout ship.
As a matter of fact, you did tell me about that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, for folks out there in the listening audience that's not familiar with that, it wasn't where the encounter wasn't, which I would again call a contact, because that's basically what it is. It wasn't the contact where, you know, you can see with your physical eyes. This was a contact that I saw with my psychic eyes, and it was just very interesting. So I want to let Mark know that Billy is not lying. Billy Meyer is not lying at all, and you know, for the folks that are trying to, malign his reports and his sightings and the pictures and everything. I want to say shame on to those folks, because the man's a real deal. I mean, and this has been stated for many years. Michael Horn, of course, I know you've spoken to Michael. You've had Michael on the show, I think, a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
As Michael stated, why would Billy lie? There's no reason for him to lie. There, you know, he's not making himself famous by, reporting this. I mean, he's famous in the UFO community, but even, unfortunately, in the UFO community, there are folks who do not believe him. I just have to say that he is telling the truth. I've experienced it.
I'll tell you, it certainly it's very hard to argue that a Swiss farmer, and look, it's not because he's Swiss, it's not because he's a farmer, except that he's not an astronomer.
Mm-hmm.
So a Swiss farmer, it could be a Texas mechanic, and we'd be saying the same thing here. That's the point. It's not an astronomer. And in 1981, he records that he was told that there is this incoming asteroid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not vague. He says 350 meters in size, and that's precisely what this asteroid is. And the writings, according to Mark, the writings say that it'll be coming past us in 2029 and then again in 2036.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what this one is going to do. It's the right size, got the right dates. How does a guy who's not an astronomer, how does he know about that?
Right, right.
I'll tell you, Debbie, let me do this real quick. Folks, any of you who happen to know, or if you can find out real quick, when did they discover Apophis, this asteroid that's coming in? When did the astronomers announce that they had discovered that it was there and it's coming in? That would be interesting to know. Debbie, thanks for the call.
All right, Kev, have a good night.
All right, and Happy New Year. Okay, folks, if you know, or if you can find out, when was Apophis discovered? It's A-P-O-P-H-I-S. When did they discover it? The astronomers. When did they announce it? Because I don't think... I mean, I was around in 1981. I had more hair, but I was around in 1981. And I don't think it was announced anywhere in the 80s. I don't think it was announced in the early 90s that Apophis was on the way. As a matter of fact, I don't think, I could be wrong, but I bet if somebody out there will get on the internet, check it out, find out when it was discovered, I bet you're going to find it was from somewhere like 1999 or later. I bet that's the case. And then, of course, the question, okay, so how did Billy Meyer know? Obviously, someone who did know told him. It would seem obvious to me that someone who knew told him. And that would certainly, lend some credence to his claims that he is talking to and dealing with these extraterrestrials. Does it prove it? Well, not for a court of law, it doesn't. But it certainly pushes the evidence, the weight of the evidence in that direction, does it not? So, look, if you know anything about Apophis, about when was it discovered, please give me a call. 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA, you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kev, it's Deb again. I just quickly Googled that, and I'm looking at a website called space.com, space in capital letters.com, and according to this, it says the object was found last year through the effort of NASA's Space Guard survey.
Last year, and 2008.
Yes. Well, last year. I don't know if that means 2008 or 2009. Since this is 2010.
What's the date on the article?
Let's see. November 3rd, 2005, so it must be 2004.
All right, there you go. So 2004, and Billy Meyer told us about it in 1981.
This was written by Leonard David, who is a senior space writer. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that this fella is legitimate.
Yes, he is, and he is the one who wrote the article that I quoted about the space-based space surveillance system, where it in his article it said that part of its purpose is to identify and track deep space forces and to provide both defensive and offensive operations capabilities.
Yeah, this one, I just wanted to just kind of finish this real quick. It says in 98, NASA formally initiated the Space Guard survey by adopting the objective of finding 90% of the near-Earth asteroids larger than 3,280 feet or 1 kilometer in diameter within the next decade before the end of 2008.
Okay.
So,
well, this one is much smaller than that, but it's still big enough to make a desert the size of France.
Hmm. Interesting. So I guess I have to take the first prize or however you want to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
all right, so 2004.
Yes, according to this, Leonard David posted this article November 3rd, 2005. So it has to be 2004, yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call.
It's been 6 years, roughly. Okay.
Yep.
Have a good night, Kev.
All right.
Bye.
Wow. Now, that's hot. That's hot. Because, and look, Mark, thanks for bringing it to our attention about the Billy Meyer's writings in 1981. I mean, that's sizzling hot, folks. Here's Billy Meyer's, who, let's put it in the terms that many people would use to ridicule him. Here he is, a Swiss farmer, claiming that he's having these face-to-face meetings with extraterrestrials, and they're talking to him about things, and he's writing it down. Yeah, right. That's the way it gets presented. Well, okay, now what? For those who have the yeah, right attitude about Billy Meyer's, now what? Because there you have 1981, Billy Meyer's is talking about this asteroid that we, the rest of us Earthlings, did not even know existed until 2004. 1981, his writings talk about it, give its measurements, give the dates that it's going to come past the Earth. That's pretty sizzling hot. I mean, if you ask me, that's like hitting the target before the target has even been put up for you to aim at. That's fantastic. So what about the rest of the information regarding that Billy Meyer statement? Well, Mark said that the rest of the information says that the cosmic... whoever the big bosses in the cosmos have designed this to happen. It's a scheduled event. Now you got to ask yourself, you know, why? I mean, is this like a test? If so, I hope we don't fail. 623-444-5889 is the toll-free number. It's open line live tonight. And the toll, I'm sorry, 623-444-5889 is the main number. And the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. It's Open Line Live tonight. We'll talk about whatever is on your mind. This asteroid is coming. It's not a theory. It's on the way. Now, it's not going, for those of you who think we're going to be wiped out in 2012, don't worry about this asteroid. You have nothing to worry about, because if you're right, we'll already be gone. And you might be right. You could be, but I don't think so. And so I think in 2029, there will be people who will have to worry about this. It is only slightly possible that I'll be alive. Only slightly possible. And if I am, I'll be way too old to care. So some of you, though, will still be young enough to care about this. It's important. And 2036, it's very important. Very sizzling information. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin.
Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Rick in California.
Yeah, Rick.
I checked the date on that discovery of that comet.
Okay.
June 19th, 2004.
Wow. Hey, you want to hang on through the break, Rick?
Sure.
Yeah, hang on. We'll be back right after this, folks. It's the Kevin Smith Show, and I hope you're still online with me. Rick, you still there?
I'm still here, Kevin.
All right. Sorry we had to cut you off. The floor is yours, sir. What were you saying?
Well, first thing, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, we checked on Wikipedia the exact discovery date of that asteroid. Was June 19th, 2004. And then I have a couple of comments.
Okay.
My wife informed me that somebody made a comment that I was going to make about, you know, they wanted to reduce the population, so why not let it hit the Earth?
Uh-huh.
My next comment was because the government is in such good cahoots with the aliens, why don't they use the aliens or ask the aliens to kind of divert that asteroid for us? That way it's going to save us a lot of money, and you know, we more or less won't have to worry about it. And then I had a question about that spiral over in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is there any more information on that? Also, I was wondering, have you heard anything about Dr. Philpop? And I'll take my answer off on the air.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Rick. Okay. I'm not sure I can remember all of it, but with Norway, yes, there's some more information. There are some video clips out there from a different perspective that do seem to show a missile. I mean, it doesn't show a missile. It shows a vapor trail or an exhaust trail that you don't see in the ones that that I showed you here on the air. And the ones I showed you here on the air are the first ones that came out that were public. It does appear that there is a sort of a corkscrewed exhaust trail. However, I also have received email from people who have some expertise with missiles, that told me absolutely no way that's a missile. And they said, check into fluid dynamics. Update on Filipov. I got an email today from Angela Joyner, a journalist in Texas. And there was a little bit of tidbit of information there. Now, it was one of those, you know, where it's an email, then a reply, then a reply to the reply, then a reply to the reply to the reply. So I read all of it. And some people are still saying that the first few seconds his speech was slurred and he sounded as if he had been drinking. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you again. Told it already, but I'm going to tell you again. I have viewed the entire videotaped interview that Croatian TV did with Dr. Filipov, and that's what they're referring to when they say he sounded as if he were intoxicated. I viewed the whole thing, and right at the beginning, they have a very up-close, tight shot on his eyes. And his eyes do move from left to right in that shot. He glances around, and as he does, there is no horizontal gaze nystagmus. Now, I got an email from one guy who said, well, you weren't there to put your little pen light in his eye. You don't have to. As a matter of fact, I never put a pen light in somebody's eye. I never put a light in anybody's eye when I did a horizontal gaze nystagmus test. Somebody that would say that simply doesn't know how an HGN test is done. Now, you also do not have to take your pen and say, follow my eyes. Or follow the pen with your eyes. You don't have to do that. All right, in order to see the nystagmus. The reason you do it is because you've already observed nystagmus. And now I'm not going to give away the secrets, so all of you police out there, don't worry about it. I'm not giving away the secrets. But there is a scoring system for looking for horizontal gaze nystagmus in each eye. So if the total score is 3 points for each eye. If you score 6, then we're going ahead. Well, if you score 5, we're going ahead with the rest of the field sobriety test. All right? So the purpose of the pen moving is not so that I can see nystagmus. It is because I'm using the pen to score. Now you can figure out the scores if you want to. I won't tell you what they are, but that's what it's for. There's no nystagmus in his eyes, and I stand by what I said. To me, having viewed the entire interview, 19 minutes, having seen it all from beginning to end, including where Dr. Filipov walks in and sits down, the whole thing, it appears to me that Dr. Filipov has been subjected to sleep deprivation. It's not alcohol. Whatever it is, it's not alcohol. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. I enjoyed your show last night.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll tell you what. I was still in the twilight zone last night. I've traveled all over the world, Mike, and I've never had jet lag. But I guess just the stress, you know, from the situation with my mom took a bigger toll on me than I had realized or that I had expected. I got through the show last night, but I was still not quite back in sync yet. But I'm glad you enjoyed the show.
I understand. I went through that. Both my parents are deceased, and currently. I have a brother who's in the hospital, and we don't know if he's going to survive or not.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. What's on your mind?
You know, talking about Billy Meyer, have you ever had Wendell Stevens on as a guest?
Yes. Yes, I have.
I used to talk to Wendell years ago, but, of course, I used to talk to a lot of people years ago. But he could just about answer any questions you have about Billy.
Yeah, and he did when he was on. I don't have any questions about what Billy, what the story is, and I don't have any doubts. But again, I neither believe nor do I disbelieve. What I say is, we'll see.
Sure.
And so here's his.
What you can really take to this.
Yeah, so here we have something where time has passed, and we can stand back and say, okay, I said we'll see, we saw. And this is a case where Billy Meyer nailed it down. He said his contact told him this, and that matches exactly what they're telling us about this asteroid.
Oh, he could. There's a lot of things that Billy Meyer has said that people just sort of slough off, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And they really ought to be taking it more seriously, but they choose, for whatever reasons, not to do so.
Yep. Well, and look, part of it is because it's so outside the experience of most people. See, most people on this planet have not seen a UFO. Most people have not had contact with an extraterrestrial. Most people still think lamestream media is mainstream. And you know, look, they're addicted to it as if they were on heroin. And, you know, it's like trying to get someone off of drugs just to get them to look at the evidence. And it's tough. And that's true of even, you know, my family members. You know, I sit at this mic and I talk to people all over the world every night. But to my family, that's just Uncle Kevin. Or that's just my cousin Kevin. And the fact that I'm into this and that I talk about this, for them, it just sort of makes me a little weird and I'm the black sheep. When in fact,
I understand where you're coming from. It's yeah. The way with me also.
But in fact, it's not me that's out of step.
No. Last night you asked me, so what is our purpose? And I said, just to live. But you know, as long as people are in denial, for whatever reason, as long as they're afraid, they're not living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
So, I think you and I are free.
I am.
I'm not in bondage.
Uh-huh.
So many other people in this world are.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a very famous man one time that said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And when you
very wise thing.
Yes, and when you do know the truth, then you are free. You know, and I'm because I quoted that. There are people that are going to assign all kinds of religious tags to what I'm saying, and it's not religious. But when you know the truth, you can sit back and relax because you understand that whatever is, is.
You know, another man, when he said that, another man said, we both have truth, so yours the same as mine. And, of course, we know who that was without mentioning anybody. But, you know, truth can be considered like an onion, too. And you got to peel away the layers to get to the very heart of it. And maybe some of us will just pull one or two layers off and be satisfied with what we get.
It's a good analogy. Good analogy. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call, man.
Have a good night.
All right. All right, yeah. Well, truth is, it is like an onion. But understand that an onion is an onion from the outside to the inside. It's all onion. And that's the way truth is. There are many layers to it, and you can get deeper and deeper into it, but it's all onion. It's all, if it's true, it's true from the surface to the heart, all the way through, if it's true. And how does that set you free? Well, if you get to the point that you understand that things that really are true are going to be true whether you believe them or don't believe them, whether you know it or don't know it, it's still true. Therefore, I no longer have to worry about anything that I know to be true because it just is. And I don't have to invest worry. I don't have to invest faith. I don't have to invest any of that. So it's not psychologically or emotionally taxing once I know what's true. Now, do I know the truth about everything? No. That's why I do this show. And I hope that's why you come to this show. We're trying to find out truth about a lot of stuff. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach. And let's go straight back to the phone lines. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Donna from California.
Hi, Donna.
I just wanted to go back to what a previous caller said when he was talking about, you know, why don't we get the aliens to push that asteroid out of the way?
Uh-huh.
You know, do you think that this whole thing that it's already taken care of and they're just trying to get some information out there to kind of make people a little nervous just so they can get more money for whatever else they want to spend it on?
I was shaking my head no, but I was responding to a misperception. As you finished your sentence, I see what you're getting at. Yeah, it could be. They may already have it taken care of. But maybe not. You know, I mean, there's always that possibility. However, it disturbs me that they are announcing right now, in 2010, they're announcing that their planning for 2036 is all going to be done in secret. Look at all that time, and it's all going to be done in secret.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's ominous.
Yeah, I just think that they're up to something. And then could I just ask you one more question?
Sure.
About the doctor?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you did you have an update on him?
Yeah. The only update is people are still discussing, you know, whether he said, you know, whether he was intoxicated or not. And I'm actually certified in detecting that. And I spent a lot of years doing it, and I never lost a case in court. So, from that perspective, I'm saying Dr. Filipov is not intoxicated, certainly not with alcohol. He shows signs in this video. He showed signs of being having been subjected to sleep deprivation. He's not intoxicated. There is one thing. When he was being videotaped by the Croatian news crew, he got two times he got a call on his cell phone and he answered. The first call seems to be just somebody he knows that's looking for somebody else that they both know, asking, "Have you seen?" You know, based on what Filipov says, it sounds like he's responding, you know, "Have you seen so-and-so?" Okay, the second call, also based on what Filipov is saying, would appear to be someone he knows. But what he says is, well, you don't need to be my friend now, because to be my friend now means that you will have a miserable life.
I was just wondering if anybody who sent him an email to wish him a Merry Christmas had heard from him or not, because he's kind of officially still missing, right?
Well, I wouldn't say officially. I would say that officially they would say he's not missing, and they will produce him here, there, and yonder from time to time so that he can be seen. I would say, in my opinion, Dr. Filipov is being excessively managed. And I did not get a reply. Others that sent emails, as far as I know, did not get a reply.
I sent an email. I didn't get a reply.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would say he is probably being excessively managed. And I would say again to the people in Bulgaria who do want to be free, watch Dr. Filipov. Because what is done to him will tell you a lot about what's coming to you.
Mm-hmm. Can I just ask you one more question?
Sure, sure.
And it's a little bit off the subject. It's because of your previous life, what you used to in your previous life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw there's going to be some kind of a executive order done where we're going to have international police officers in the United States. And supposedly that's going to take away some of the funding for our CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good thing?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay.
In my opinion, it's just my opinion, the federalizing of law enforcement is the single most ominous thing that can happen in this allegedly free society. So, let me explain. I was an international police commander.
Mm-hmm.
But international police, right up till now, the way that that works is a nation where everything has broken down. Government's broken. There's no law enforcement. There's chaos. The streets are like a war zone. Request
well, must be what they're expecting for the United States.
Well, I think
why
so. But that nation requests of the United Nations, they make a request to the United Nations for help. And they ask, you know, for police help. They ask sometimes for military help. And then the United Nations responds. And each nation that wants to participate can. No nation has to. And so the United States has, under the United States Department of State, they have these international police, okay, but they have no authority in the United States. None. And they have no authority anywhere else on this planet except to, they have authority in the country that they get sent to. Okay, so in my case, like Kosovo, I got sent to Kosovo. That's one of the places. So I was a cop in Kosovo. I could arrest people. I could enforce law. You know, everything police do here, I could do because I was a cop in Kosovo. But the instant I walked out of Kosovo, I no longer had any police powers. It was specific for that country, for that area, because it had been requested. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we move to a situation where we have a standing international police cadre stationed here, with police powers here, you just lost freedom.
Well, I understand it's already been approved, right?
Well, I don't know. I've heard it has, and I heard that it hasn't. And so I really don't know, but it will be.
Yeah. Well, that's a scary thought. That scares me more than any little old asteroid.
Yeah, I think, you know, the comments about, you know, what about, you know, population reduction. Look, by the time that asteroid gets here, if there's going to be population reduction, it will have already been done.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for the call.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. You have a nice evening.
All right, thanks. All right, folks, that's about it for this evening because we are just about out of time. There is a flash message from the United Kingdom I want to answer, and it's from John. He says, does Billy Myers tune in to some kind of frequency between consciousness and unconsciousness, or is this a real contact with extraterrestrials? Billy Myers says that it's face-to-face, real contact. And he says that he's been on board their ships. He has flown into space with them on their ships. He's been shown things. That's what Billy Myers says about it. So, John, I hope that answers your question. It's a brand new year, new days, new ways, and they start tomorrow. Be sure you tune in for the Kevin Smith Show with Jerry Wills tomorrow at 7 p.m. on the West Coast, 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. on the East Coast, the same time as our shows start every night. He also will be with us on Sundays, okay? So Saturdays and Sundays are in your repertoire now. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time. So long, everybody.